Browser window. Document. Document. Page has two headings and two links. Word 2016-Lesson 3-Objectives.
Hello, everyone. This is Dan with the training department at Freedom Scientific. This is going to be Lesson 3 for Microsoft Word 2016. And some of the things we'll talk about today include setting and using bookmarks and continuing the navigation with the task panes, ribbon and status bar and document areas and things like that, and JAWS quick settings. I said I was going to do those last lesson, and I got so excited about styles I forgot. So we'll quickly cover those. And then we have going into inserting an image and begin working with those, size and position, adding alternate text to the images, creating and modifying tables that are accessible for screen reader users. We'll look at table reading keystrokes for JAWS, inserting tables, talk about contextual tabs of the ribbon, galleries, and then in tables we'll show and discuss repeat as header row for word tables. It's a Microsoft Word setting. And then we'll use a newer technique for creating tables with row and column headers. There's also some information for those people who don't have the newest versions of Outlook. We have a link for documentation on creating column and row headers that are accessible. We'll call it the classic technique, the old style, using the bookmark feature, actually. And we'll look at some of the table style options in Microsoft Word. So I'll go ahead and push out the next page. We're just kind of going over some of the objectives there.
Next page link. Document. Page has 15 headings and 6 links. Microsoft Word 2016-Lesson 3, Microsoft.
Very good. Okay, so this is the page for the main part of the lesson. And as usual, if you're participating in the live lesson today, you can press F6 to move to the browser window.
F6, document.
And then press Tab to move to the first document on the page.
Open the documentation in a new browser window opens in a new window link.
And that opens the browser or the documentation in a new window. I'm going to go ahead and do that myself.
New browser window.
And I'll just put that off to the side for a moment.
Windows left arrow. Windows left arrow.
All right, so in a moment I'll start the screen sharing for those of you who can see the screen during the live webinar. And of course, in the recorded archives, the screen sharing does not get recorded at this time, unfortunately, but hopefully someday. All right, so let me go ahead and start sharing my screen. Hopefully you've had a chance to grab the documentation.
Context menu. Administration menu. Poll users. Leaving menus. Freedom Scientific training. Setting a please wait ... dialog. Pause button.
All right. So initially I see on the training test computer, it looks like it's coming through. So I'm going to just minimize this window for the training room.
Microsoft Word 2000, new browser window, Freedom
here.
Scientific Training Room - Internet Explorer.
And so let's
Freedom
talk about Scientific and use bookmarks.
Alt Control W. Normal.
I'm
Document
going
one.
To,
normal style.
As soon as John stops talking, I'm going to open up Word and go from there. So to insert a bookmark in a document, you're going to press Alt and the letter N as in November if you're using the keyboard, or you can click the Insert tab of the ribbon, either one.
Alt N, upper ribbon, group box, Insert tab.
If you're looking for it visually, it's in the book. It's in the links group on the lower ribbon, and that is about the fourth or the fifth group over. It's kind of in the middle of the lower ribbon. If you're using the keyboard, you can use the keytip letter K kilo.
Document 1-Word, bookmark dialog, bookmark name colon edit combo.
It's very easy and straightforward. You have a bookmark name edit box, and you could type in something there. And note that in the bookmark field, name field, they don't allow spaces. So I used a mixed case. I capitalized the letter of three words, my test bookmark.
Bookmark name colon edit combo my test bookmark.
Okay. And so what I'll do is I'll just press enter on that.
Document 1. Print view. Edit.
So that put a bookmark basically at the top of the document because I haven't done anything else there. But it's also invisible by default. You can go in and turn those on in Word if you want to see them visually. But it's pretty easy to do. And also, if you are looking at Microsoft Word to navigate by bookmarks, some documents have quite a few bookmarks, and it can be easier to navigate sometimes by bookmarks than by headings in a document. So maybe they've only got chapter headings, but they've got lots of other bookmarks. You can use Control-G, the go-to.
Control-G, go-to, enter page number, colon, edit.
In Microsoft Word, and of course that's a Microsoft Word keystroke. What the focus is initially on the Find and Replace dialog. That opens up is the pages. To go to what? It says go to page. So if you tab a few times here.
Enter plus and to move relative. Enter plus and to move. Enter plus. Go to tab. Go to what colon. Go to what colon. Go to what colon list box. Page. Go to what colon.
That one, it said go to what colon about three or four times. If you down arrow in there, you'll find bookmark.
Bookmark.
And once you've chosen bookmark there, if you press tab, you'll find...
Enter bookmark name colon edit combo. My test bookmark.
The bookmarks that you had already named, and you could up and down arrow through this list and find one and press enter to move to it. Now, once you've done that in Microsoft Word, when you press control page down or control page up, Word is going to continue to search for bookmarks, previous and next bookmark. To get it to go back to looking for pages.
Enter bookmark. Enter bookmark name escape.
What I would do is you would press Control-G.
Control-G, Microsoft Word document. Enter bookmark
name. And then perhaps Shift-Tab to go to the go to what?
Go to what colon list box bookmark. 4 of 13.
Yeah, that's a little faster. And then choose page.
Page.
And then go forward by pressing tab until you find enter page number.
Enter page number colon edit.
Type in a 1 for the first page or whatever page you want to go to.
1.
And press enter. And you can press escape. Now, from now on, the document will, or control page up and control page down will go back to moving by pages. So when you, the go-to dialog box in Word, when you change the thing that you're going to, the control page up and control page down switches to that particular thing that you told it to look for. And it stays like that until you change it to something else during that session. Now, there are some JAWS commands for bookmarks. Insert, Alt, B, Bravo.
Please wait. Processing one items. Bookmark list dialog. List one list view. My test bookmark. 1 of 1.
And that brings up a list of bookmarks.
Task switching. Freedom Scientific. Document 1-Word.
That brings up a list of bookmarks, and you can use that as well. If you're using navigation quick keys in Microsoft Word, when you press Insert Z to go into navigation quick key mode, if there are bookmarks in the document, you can use the letter B, Bravo, or Shift B to move to the next or prior bookmark as well. So let's look at Insert V, quick settings in JAWS. Insert V as in Victor.
Quick settings dash Word dialog. Search box edit.
When you first open up Quick Settings, it tells you the name of the program that it's going to set the settings for. In this case, it said Quick Settings-Word. If Focus had been in Notepad when I pressed Insert V to open Quick Settings, it would have said Quick Settings-Notepad, for example, or -Excel if I had been in Excel. There's a search edit box where you can type in what you're looking for, but if you press the Tab key, you'll move to a tree view.
Tree view. Level 0, Word Settings, open, 8 items.
And for those of you who have not seen Quick Settings before, you could search for things in that search edit box and it will filter the tree view below that we just moved to match, to show any matches to your search. So it can filter it out quite a bit and just narrow it down to the things you're looking for. But if you look through this, the top part of the tree view is for Word Settings.
Word Settings, open, 8 items.
Down further in the tree view are general options. So if I had opened up this in Microsoft Excel, for example, at the top of the Quick Settings tree view would be Excel settings and PowerPoint settings if I had opened up this in PowerPoint and so on. So this gives you a quick way to look at the settings that are individual for that particular application, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, etc., whatever program happens to be running when you press Insert V. And here you can change things like the bullet type indication.
Level 2, bullet type indication on, 1 of 6.
You know, whether headings are announced, whether style changes are announced. I'm just going to press the letter S.
Shading detection, style changes off.
And by default, style changes announcement. Now, this is the announcement of style changes. That is off because we don't want to interrupt people when they're just reading through a document. You don't necessarily want to hear every time the font changes from Arial, say, to Courier or something else. But you can look for it. You can turn this on if you like and just see what it, how it works. You can always change it back later. But there are things here for looking at track changes, changing the way JAWS looks at track changes, looking for and speaking the style changes, indicating bookmarks. That's off by default.
Bookmark indication off.
I just pressed B, Bravo, to look for bookmark. Object count.
Object count detection checked.
And that is on by default. And so there's a few things there that you can change. I'm not going to change anything, so I'll press Escape.
Escape. Edit.
Back in the document. So next, let's go ahead and talk about images and some of the best practices for inserting and using images in documents. Make sure you use alternate text. The technical term for it is alt attributes, coming from the HTML, alt attribute. And most people, you know, in the lay terms, call it alt text or alternate text. Some people call it descriptive text. We'll just use the term alt text or alt attribute in this class. Some people also call it alt tag. It's not really a tag, it's an attribute. But if you're using an image that's decorative or meaningless, you don't want it to have a description. You'd want to have it give it an empty alt attribute. You want to keep the alt attributes and the alt text short wherever possible. You don't want it to go on too long. And you want to keep the images, quote, in line, quote, with text when you're inserting them in documents. We'll talk about how that works in a few minutes. If you need longer descriptions, you can put those in the pros around the image, or you can actually use a hyperlink near the image to link to another document that has a description that's more in-depth for that image. So as a rule of thumb, keep your alt text or your alt attributes short, descriptive, and if you need longer descriptions, either put it in the pros around the image or have a link there that links to an external document that will describe the image even more. So let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to type a line of text.
LT. Period. This is the top of the document for today's lesson.
So that's on line one, and I'll press Enter. There's a blank line, and I'll press Enter again. I just
Period.
Type in, this is the end of the document.
Blank.
And then I'll put focus in that middle blank line on line two. So what you want to do when you're looking for an image. Now, we could have grabbed an image from, you know, anywhere, really. It doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter what the image is that you're using. What I'll do is I'm going to go ahead and press Alt and the letter N, November, to move to the Insert tab of the ribbon. That's what that's the tab that had focus last. So Alt N, or click on the Insert tab.
Alt N, upper ribbon, group box, Insert tab.
The Pictures button is in the Illustrations group, which is the third group on the lower ribbon. You can just press the letter P, Papa, to move to it. You can click it if you've got a mouse, or you could tab to it. It's not that many tabs past the beginning of the lower ribbon, so I'll just press the letter P for Picture.
Leaving menu bar, View, Edit, Insert Picture Dialog, File Name colon, Edit Combo.
And there are, in my case, the computer opened up to my user folder, my sign-in name to a folder called Users Dan Clark Pictures. So it's probably something like that on your system. It would be users / username, that's your login name, / pictures. And if you don't have anything in there, if you look in one of the folders. There may be some subfolders with pictures, like saved pictures. So I'm just going to grab one.
Explorer pane, folder layout pane, shelf, aurora-ice.jpg.
And I'm going to, let's say,
camera roll.
Yeah,
aurora-ice.jpg. Not selected aurora-ice.jpg.
So I just grabbed a picture of the
document one
aurora from the space shuttle taken up above. So when I did that, I pressed Control to stop JAWS from speaking. And when this is a nice new feature that's kind of a pain. It's great for people who are using a mouse. The keyboard doesn't work too great with it. It's called the layout options grid that pops up when you press the Control key. And it gives people the ability to do context-specific things with either an image object like this or a chart object, different things like that. And it tells you that you can keep it in line with text wrapping. And we'll talk more about, as I said, the layout and how that works in line with text in just a minute. But that layout options tool pane that pops up is it gets in the way when you press Control, because it opens up when you press Control. So what you want to do if you're a JAWS user is not press Control.
Escape. Document escape.
Easier said than done. So I'm going to press Control home and go to the top of the, that's when focus is on the image, by the way, or focus is on the chart when you press Control. It pops up that little toolbar. So I'll press Control home to go to the top of the document.
Top of file. This is the top of the document for today's lesson.
And I'll press down arrow.
Blank.
I hear blank.
This is the end of the document.
And then the last line where it said this is the end of the document. I'll press Control home and go back to the top.
Top of file.
And this time I'm going to do an insert down arrow, which is a say all command.
This is the top of the document for today's lesson. Graphic picture 16.42 inches wide by 4.28 inches high. This is the end of the document.
So that time I heard a graphic and the size of the graphic, which was not that helpful. Didn't tell me anything about the image. Now, the reason I did a say all right there is this is a JAWS issue. So it's a known JAWS issue that if you're using just up and down arrow and you come to a graphic, it may not always read the graphic. But if you're doing a say all, which is reading the whole document, you will hear the graphic. So it just depends, and hopefully that'll be fixed in a future version of JAWS. So let's look at the size and position aspects of an image first. So I'm going to use a keystroke in JAWS, insert Control O to bring up the list of objects, insert Control. I typed that wrong. Hold on a minute.
Please wait.
All right, that's an error in my documentation. I get those keystrokes mixed up sometimes a lot. In the documentation, I have insert Control D as in Delta. It should be insert Control O, sorry. It should be Control Shift O. So that insert should be a shift. I'll fix that in the documentation for those of you who are downloading it later. All right, so when you press Control Shift O, you get a list of objects. Now, if you're using the mouse, you can just right-click on the object. When I press Enter here in the objects list, that does the same thing as a right-click.
Edit. Picture, 6.5 inches wide by 4.333 inches high. The object is select.
It's actually
pane.
Not quite true.
In line with text button selected.
See, I just pressed Control to stop speech, and that layout options pane popped up. So I'm going to press Escape to get out of that.
Escape. Document 1. Print view. Edit.
It says that there's edit. I'm going to press Escape a couple of times to get out of that again.
Escape.
So pressing Control Shift O does not do. The right click, Control Shift O.
Please wait.
Basically does a left click.
Picture, 6.5 inches wide by 4.333 inches. The object is selected. Edit.
And I pressed the Shift key that time to stop JAWS from talking instead of the Control key. So you could just click on the image with a left click, and that puts focus on it the same way as we did with Control Shift O. Once you've got selection on the image, there are handles that a person using a mouse could size it with, but you can press the application key or you can press the right mouse button to get a context menu.
Shift F10, menu, Todd.
The context menu starts out at the top with cut, and I'll press up arrow to move to the bottom of the context menu because it's a little faster to get to. I'm looking for size and position.
Format picture dot dot dot. Size and position dot dot dot.
So I'll press enter there.
Leaving menus. Layout dialog. Size page. Height. Cancel button.
Okay, focus should appear. Mine shows on the cancel button, but if I press the tab key,
size tab.
Focuses on the size tab. This is a multi-page dialog box. It has three tab pages, the size tab, the position tab, and text wrapping page, or tab page. So if you press the tab key here on the size tab page, I love it.
Height, absolute radio button checked.
You come to an absolute height radio button check, and if I press the tab key,
absolute height edit spin box, 4.33 quote.
I hear it's 4.33 quote, which is inches. That's just the way the synthesizer reads the quote. And if you continue tabbing through on my computer, this is going to be different on your computer depending on the image you've got. You know, different things. Don't worry about it if it's got a different number. The absolute height or width on mine is 6.5. There's a combo box there for rotation that lets you actually adjust the angle at which the image is inserted. You can actually rotate an image up to 360 degrees, which is full circle. So you could actually have an image in there and tilt it to the right slightly or to the left slightly or even upside down for whatever, for, you know, making it look a little bit different or more artsy if you're doing a flyer or something like that, perhaps. So there's also a lock aspect ratio checkbox, which is checked by default. If you leave that checked, which you normally do, if I change the height from 4.33 to something else, then the width would automatically adjust to fit the right size so that we wouldn't like accidentally stretch out the image too long going vertically or too wide going horizontally. So it maintains that aspect ratio. And then there's also a reset button. So let's go ahead and look at the absolute width. I'm going to tab a couple of times until I get to that. My height was 4.33.
Width. Absolute radio button checked. Absolute width edit spin box. 6.5 quote.
So the absolute width here on my on my image was 6.5. I'm going to shift tab to go back to height.
Absolute height edit spin box. 4.33 quote.
I had to press shift tab twice to get back to the absolute height spin box. Now you can type in directly here if you want to. I'm going to type in 3.5.
3, period, 5.
As in 3.5 inches. And then I'll tab to the width and see what it changed it to.
Width, absolute radio button checked. Absolute width edit spin box, 5.25 quote.
Okay, so it did shrink the width a little bit to match the height of 3.5 inches that I had. Now, if I wanted to keep this, I could just press enter.
Print and view, edit.
Basically closes the dialog box and then changes the size of the image. But let's go back into it. I'll press Shift F10 or application key or right mouse click. Focus is still on the object or the picture, so I can just do the Shift F10.
Shift F10, menu, cut.
Go back to size and position by up arrow twice.
Format, size and position, dot, dot, dot.
And I'll press enter again.
Leaving menus. Layout dialog. Size page. Height. Cancel button.
Okay, focuses on the cancel button again, so I'll press tab.
Size tab.
Focus moves to the size tab. And once you're on the tab, you can press control tab to move to the next page.
Position tab.
There's a position tab page. Now, most of the things in this dialog box are grayed out right now. Basically, I'm thinking because of the fact that I haven't chosen anything else in the text wrapping page yet. So let's go ahead and press Control Tab to go to the text wrapping page.
Text wrapping tab.
And here you have different ways you can wrap the text around or through the image. If you press just the tab key by itself.
Wrapping style, in line with text radio button checked.
It says that the wrapping style that's checked by default is in line, that's I-N, and then L-I-N-E, inline with text. That means that it's basically, if you have an image, there's going to be text above it and text below it. If you arrow here,
wrapping style, square radio button checked.
You could have text appear at the top above the image and on the left and right side and also below, so that it's kind of a square with the image in the middle. There are a couple of other choices here. Tight, through, top and bottom only. Behind text, which is kind of like a watermark. And then in front of text, which would actually over, you know, block out some of the text. So typically you're just going to leave it on the one that says inline.
Wrapping style, inline with text, radio button checked.
Inline with text. And I'm just going to press enter to get out of there.
Print view, edit.
So there are different styles available for you for wrapping the text if you need to do that. Let's look at adding the alt attribute or the alt text to the image. Focus is still on the image when I pressed escape a while ago. Now, if it's not for you, you can just right click it again or use Control Shift O to select the select an object list and choose it that way. So once focus is on it, you can do the Shift F10 or right click and choose the mouse.
Shift F10 menu.
We want to choose format picture this time.
Format picture dot dot dot.
Format picture dot dot dot, and I'll press enter.
Leaving menus. Print view. Edit.
Okay, I heard JAWS say print view edit. So that tells me that JAWS is still on the document side of the page, if you will. I'm not positive if it's on the image still. It looks like it is visually still on the image. Normally what would happen is the focus would go to the format picture tab page. Task pane. But focus is not there on my computer. It might be on yours. I'll do an insert up arrow.
Graphic 5.25 inches wide by 3.5 inches high.
So in my case, focus is still on the graphic. The reason I'm saying this is because Microsoft is making a lot of changes right now to Microsoft Office in terms of making things more accessible. In lesson one, we saw that they've changed the spell check. And the spell check is completely different than it was like 3 weeks ago when I was first writing up, rewriting the notes for this lesson. They've changed it since then. So I expect at some point they'll change this so that the focus does go into the task pane once you do this, once it opens. But for now, if yours is not in the task pane, you can press F6. That's what I'm going to do.
F6, pane, effects button selected.
And I heard it said the effects button selected. Effects, EFFECTS. There's effects and affects. Don't ask me the difference. Well, I know. Anyway, so the focus is on the effects button there in the task pane. There are other buttons to the left and to the right of this, so if I press left arrow,
fill and line button.
There's a fill and line button. That's the first button. If I left arrow again,
picture button.
It goes around to the right-hand side. It wraps to the right. There's four buttons here in a horizontal row. So it just wrapped to the last one, to the right, for the pictures.
Picture button.
Picture button. If I press left arrow again.
Layout and properties button.
There's a layout and properties button. And then left arrow again.
Effects button.
There's the effects button. So there are four little, consider these to be like tabs, but they're graphic icons. So if it was a multi-page dialog box, if you were on one of those buttons, well, even here, it's like a multi-page dialog box. So that as you change from one button to the next, the items underneath the button in the task pane change to show what's available. So think of it as kind of like a multi-page dialog box. What I want to do is press right arrow.
Layout and properties button.
To move to the layout and properties button. Once you're there, you can just press tab to move to the items that are beneath it.
Text box button.
So I heard text box button. I'll press tab again.
Alt text button.
Alt text button. I'll press tab again.
Layout and properties button selected.
Goes back up to the tab, if you will, or the icon for this group of things that you can change. I'll tab again.
Text box button.
And focuses back on the text box button. So there are two things, text box and alt text, that we can change here. for the layout and properties. I'm going to tab until I find the Alt Text button.
Alt Text button.
There it is, and I'll press the space bar, and you'll hear it say that it's checked.
Checked.
Okay, I heard it say checked. Now if I press tab, there are some other things that opened up beneath the Alt Text now that it's open. When it's checked, it's open. When it's not checked, or if it doesn't say it's checked, that means it's closed in this case. So if I press the tab key,
title edit.
There's a title edit, and if I tab again,
description edit.
There's a description. If I tab again,
layout and properties button selected.
Back up to the layout and properties button, and the next tab will put me back on the text box where it won't say checked.
Text box button.
It says text box button, so it could be open, but I'm not going to open it.
Alt text button checked.
And then we're back to the alt text button checked. So if it's checked, it's open. And as I tab through, I'm going to skip past the title.
Title edit.
And go on to the description.
Description edit.
Because that's where you want to put the description for your alt attribute or your alt text. And so I'm just going to type in something here. I'm going to say view of the Aurora. If I can type right.
B-bates, and. Period. View of the Aurora from the space shuttle.
And I typed in view of the Aurora from the space shuttle. So you most likely do have a different image. Just give it a meaningful name or description. The reason we don't want to put the title in there is because we just want to keep it simple. If you put the title and the description, then sometimes you'll get the title spoken depending on how persons are navigating, and sometimes you'll get the description. Depending on how people are navigating. When I say depending on how they're navigating, whether somebody's navigating with a say all command, like insert down arrow, whether somebody's navigating with just up and down arrow, or whether somebody's navigating with insert right arrow, you know, or insert left arrow to go to the prior or the next word. JAWS is going to read it a little bit differently in each of those circumstances, at least for the time being, unless they, you know, fix this or change this behavior in JAWS. So for now, I'm just going to say just leave your alt attribute in the description field, and that's where we recommended it all these years anyway. The title just gives you extra verbosity, which means people have to listen to more stuff. And the more stuff that people have to listen to, that means that they have to spend longer trying to get to the things they need to do. So less stuff is good. I'm going to press F6 to move back to the document pane.
F6, status bar, toolbar, page number, page 1 of 1 button.
So the first time I press F6, focus went down to the status bar. I could have pressed Shift F6 to go back directly to the image, but I'll go ahead and press F6 again.
F6, upper ribbon, group box, home tab.
Upper ribbon.
F6, document pane, leaving menu bar, print view, edit.
And focuses back in the print view on the document object itself, on the picture still. You know, if you're not sure, because I don't think it said that very clearly, you could press Escape to, you know, a few times just to make sure that there's nothing in the way.
Escape. Escape.
And it focuses not on not on the object. And you could press Control-Shift-O.
Please wait, processing one items. Inline objects dialog. List one, list view. View of the Aurora from the space shuttle, 5.25 inches wide by 3.50 inches high. 1 of 1.
Notice that now the inline objects box insert, Control Shift O actually has pulled in the alt attribute there into this list, and I'll press enter to go to it.
Edit. View of the Aurora from the space shuttle, 5.2.
And so that way I can get back
in
to
line
the
with document 1.
Now I pressed Control by accident, so I'm just going to press Escape a few times to get out of the layout options thing.
Escape. Escape.
And the object. And I'll press Control Home to go back to the top.
Top of file. This is the top of the document for today's lesson.
And what happens if I down arrow?
Blank.
Nothing.
This is the end of the document.
And this is the end of the document at the bottom. Let's go back to the top with Control Home.
Top of file. This is the top of the document for today's lesson.
If I press insert down arrow to do a say all.
This is the top of the document for today's lesson. Graphic view of the Aurora from the space shuttle, 5.16 inches wide by 3.44 inches high. This is the end of the document.
In that case, I did hear the alt attribute spoken.
Top of file.
If I do next word from the top of the file.
Is the top of the document for today's lesson. Period. Blank. Space. Blank. This is the end of the document.
In that case, it didn't read that. So, again, I think that's already in the system for JAWS to be fixed to make it at least more consistent there, especially when you're reading with up and down arrow, because that's not working right now. There are a few different opinions on the way that people put alt attributes or alt text for images. On the one hand, people say just keep it simple, and that's my view. Keep it simple and say only what's necessary, or say what it is. Other people lean towards giving more detail and letting users know that there is more detail. It's really just a matter of which camp you're in. My preference is to keep the images alt attributes short, and then if you need more detail, as I mentioned earlier, put it in the prose around the image or have a link to another document. But again, there's quite a discussion almost all the time. Anytime you talk to different groups of people, you'll find that there's some in one camp and there's some in the other. When you're coding web pages, you have the ability to use an attribute called the longdesc, longdesc, all one word, longdesc. That's not available in Word, but the longdesc attribute could give you basically the ability to press a keystroke and then launch another page, HTML page, that has the long description in it. So since Microsoft Word doesn't have a longdesc attribute, then that's why I recommend using the image description if it's needed for more detail, either in the prose of the document or in a link to an external document. See, let's go ahead and talk about creating and modifying tables.
Bottom of file.
And so I'm going to press enter a couple of times at the bottom of the file and talk about some of the different types of tables that are available. You can have regular tables and you can have simple tables. You can have irregular tables and you can have complex tables. So you can have a regular simple table, or you could have a regular complex table, taking combinations of these words. You could have an irregular simple table, etc. The best practice is to use regular simple tables. An example of an irregular table would be something perhaps that doesn't have the header information in standard positions. Table headers, usually for columns, is the first row, and table headers for rows are usually the first column. So if you have a table that has the headers in row 3 for the third row, and that's the column headers, and they're in row 3 instead of row 1, that would be considered an irregular table. In a complex table, while it could still be classified as a regular table, still increases the chance that people won't have an easy time comprehending it. An example of a more complex table might be someone who's using, or it might be an example of nested tables, so a table or other tables within another table. So sometimes people will use a big table on the outside for layout, and then inside the cells of that big table, they'll put smaller tables, you know, for different data. And we recommend not doing that. That's something that you do not want to do. Try and keep your tables simple and regular. There's a link in your documentation for the table reading keystrokes for JAWS. To be able to tell if the table is marked up properly, you really have to either look at the code if it's an HTML page or a PDF document. You have to look at the table editor, or you would have to pretty much test it with a screen reader to see if it's reading properly. So when you're in the middle of the table going left and right, you should hear the column headers at the top of each column. As you're going up and down in the table, you should hear the row headers out to the left of each row. And that's pretty much the way that it works, or it should work. And if you use the table reading keys for JAWS, JAWS will keep you confined to the table while you're doing that exploration of the table. And it'll read the column headers and row headers if they're marked up properly. the idea is that you want to mark them up as the creator of the document so that it's accessible to anybody who opens the document. You don't want the end user to have to go through and create table headers and mark them up properly. You want to have it done for them just so that all they have to do is open up the table and read it. In the earlier lessons for this class, and in some of the other webinars we've taught back in the earlier days before this accessibility from Office started kicking in, the concept was to the table styles options group in the ribbon, which we're going to look at in a few minutes, was there, but it didn't work. It didn't work to give the screen reader user the information about the column headers and the row headers. So we had to use a feature in Word called the bookmark feature to mark the table. When we get to that section, you're going to find that the bookmark feature is no longer needed, so that's good. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Let's talk about inserting a table into the document, though. So for example, if I'm on a blank line at the bottom of my sample document here that I'm working with, I can go to the Insert tab of the ribbon again with Alt and the letter N, November, or you can just click on it if you want.
Alt N, upper ribbon, group.
And this time, instead of P for picture, I'm going to type T, table. It's also in the, it's in the second group of the ribbon. It's the tables group, so I'm going to press the letter T.
Leaving menu bar, ribbon, lower ribbon, insert, tables, table submenu, table, 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 insert table, 1x1 table button.
I like the word table, table. All right, so it shows a grid, basically, has dropped down from the table button in the ribbon with one square in the grid highlighted, and it said one by one table. If I press right arrow,
2x1 table grid.
I now have a 2x1 table, which is basically two cells in one row, 2x1. If I press right arrow again,
3x1 table grid.
Now I have three cells in that first row of the table. And if I down arrow, I'll have two rows of three selected in the grid.
3x2 table grid.
And here it says 3x2. If I were to down arrow again, I'd have a 3x3.
3x3 table grid. 23 of 80.
And so on. The cool thing about this is that as you're doing this in this table grid, the actual table has been inserted into the document at the place where the caret is, or was. And as you're pressing left and right and up and down arrow and choosing those cells in the grid, the actual table inside the document is being dynamically updated to show what you've chosen in that grid. So even though I'm not in the document, or focus is not in the document, focus is in the grid on the ribbon, inside the document now there's a table with three columns and three rows where my cursor was. That's good. So I'm going to just press Enter to accept that.
Upper ribbon, group box, insert tab, leaving menu bar, print view, edit, table 1, uniform table, blank, row 1
of
3.
Okay, so there's
three,
a uniform table that's set, row 1, column 1, blank. The other thing, too, is that in that grid, or when you do the insert tab and choose table, below the grid there are some menu items that will give you dialog boxes. So there's one for drawing a table, which is can be gotten to with the access key of the letter D, delta. We don't want to use the draw table feature. That's not going to create accessible tables. There's also one, convert text to a table. There's also convert it to an Excel spreadsheet. And there's also another submenu for quick tables. So there's a few other choices below that grid. And if you go to the insert table button and you open it, it's easier to get to those menu items by pressing up arrow because they're below the grid. So for now, I'm just going to keep this as a 3x3 table. Focus is in the first cell, row 1, column 1. And as soon as focus is in the cell of a table like this, something different has happened on the ribbon. There are now some tabs on the upper ribbon that were not there before, and it's called the Table Tools tabs of the ribbon. So this is something called contextual tabs, and they appear on the upper ribbon, and the contextual tabs, if you click on one of those or highlight it, there are two of them for table tools. There's one called Design, a design tab, and then there's a layout tab. So two new tabs for table tools have appeared on the ribbon because focus is inside the table. Because that's the context of what I'm working with, now Word has given me some other choices to work with tables. things like the table styles and things we were talking about. So those are specific to the task or the context at hand. It's called a contextual tab. If I press up arrow to move out of the ribbon, or excuse me, out of the table.
Out of table, blank.
And I'm on that blank line below the text that I had typed where it said this is the end of the document. Now the table tools on the upper ribbon have disappeared. So I'm going to go back down and make sure focus is inside the table.
Table 1, uniform table, blank, row 1 of 3, column 1 of 3.
That new set of tabs has now appeared back on the ribbon, the table tools tab. Focus is not on that one like it was initially. Focus has now gone back. If I were to go to the ribbon by pressing the Alt key, let's see where it would go. I'm just going to press Alt by itself. I think it's going to go to the Home tab.
Upper ribbon, group box, Home tab.
Yep, so it went over to the Home tab. Once I got out of the table and came back into it, the first time Focus was there, Focus was on the Table Tools tab where I could have manipulated the table. Once I moved out and back in, Focus has gone back to the Home tab. I can go back over to the Table Tools Design tab, for example, by pressing two keys in the key combination. J is in Juliet, T is in Tango, so JT would take me to the Design tab. J is in Juliet, L is in Lima would take me to the Layout tab, so JL would take me to the Layout tab. And then I would have the choices beneath each one of those. So focuses, I want to go to the Design tab. I'm going to type JT, J is in Juliet, T is in Tango.
Table Tools Group Box, Design tab.
And I hear that Focus is on the Design tab. And now I'm just going to press the Tab key to move to the Design tab lower ribbon.
Lower ribbon, Design group box, Table style options group box, Header row checkbox checked.
I hear that there's a header row checkbox and it's checked. And if I press the Tab key.
Total row checkbox not checked.
Total row.
Banded rows checkbox checked.
Banded row.
First column checkbox checked.
First column is checked.
Last column checkbox not checked.
Last is not.
Banded columns checkbox not checked.
And banded columns is not. So the ones that I want to call your attention to are the ones that said header row checked and first column checked. So these are in the table styles options for the design tab of the table. And this is the thing that was not accessible or was not causing the screen readers to get the information they needed to find out where the row and column headers were before, and Microsoft have made that possible now. So we're going to look at this in more detail as we go through the class. I'm just looking at the time here. Okay, we're doing good. All right, so for now, I'm just going to go to the bottom of the document, Control End, END.
Bottom of file, banded.
Focus was in the ribbon. I'll press Escape a couple of times.
Escape. Escape.
And then do Control End.
Out of table.
Okay, so I just got out of the table. The contextual tabs for the table have disappeared. While I was in that table tab, by the way, there was another feature of the ribbon that had appeared in the. If I go back up to the table, I'll just up arrow a couple of times.
Blank. Table 1. Uniform table. Column 1, no title. Blank. Row 3 of 3.
So inside this contextual tab for the design tab. Of the table, if I press Alt
ribbon, upper ribbon, home tab
to go to the upper ribbon, and it went to the home tab. And then I press JT again, Juliet Tango.
Table tools group box, design tab.
And we're back on the design tab. In the design tab, actually pretty much the whole ribbon in the middle part of the ribbon, the lower ribbon, is a table styles gallery. And this is something that's also another feature of the ribbon called a gallery. If you're using the keyboard, you can left and right arrow through these different, quote, styles of tables. So you could have some that have different colors. They're banded. Every other row might be blue or white or orange and white, you know, different things like that. And there could be some different styles as far as the way the headers look versus just a plain table. They might be shaded or not shaded, just different styles. And this is a different, what we call a gallery of different choices or styles. You find these throughout the ribbon in different places as well. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the bottom of the document.
Bottom of file, design tab.
And okay, so I was still in the ribbon again, huh? That's great about JAWS. You hear where you are. I'll press escape. Few times
leaving
to get out of the ribbon.
Edit. Table 1. Uniform table.
Now here focuses back in the table, and I'll press Control End.
Out of table. Bottom of file. Blank.
To go to the bottom of the file. The next thing I want to talk about is the repeat as header row for Word tables. And this is a Microsoft Word setting. When you have a table that spans multiple pages, which we're going to get to, the column headers, if there are column headers, don't get put on the subsequent pages. There's just, you know, on page 2 and page 3, if it's the same table, you'll just see data. And it's nice to be able to have at the top of each new page, if there's a table that's being carried over, it's nice to have those column headers to be there. If you take that Word document with a table that spans multiple pages and then convert it into a PDF, that table header information will come through for all the tables, all the pages that have that table, excuse me, on them. So it's a good thing to do. And I'll show you how to do that. First, I want to look at my notes and see what I've got. All right, so let's do this. I'm going to press up arrow to go back to the table.
Blank. Table 1. Uniform table. Column 1, no title. Blank. Row 3 of 3.
So I'm in row 3. It doesn't matter where you are, in which table or anything. I just wanted to be back in the table to get the table tools or be able to do that. Once you're in the table, if you press, with JAWS running, if you press Control Alt Home, focus will go to cell 1.
Beginning of table. Blank. Row 1 of 3. Column 1 of 3.
Beginning of table, row 1, column 1. And that's one of the JAWS table reading keys that I was talking about. If you hold down the Control and the Alt key with your left hand, for example, and then press your arrow keys with the right hand, you can navigate through a table, and JAWS will keep you confined to the table. You don't move out of the table at the bottom of the table or to the right. You know, if you get to the right edge of the table or the top, things like that, focus stays in the table while you're reading with the JAWS table reading keys. Control and Alt and the arrow keys is the classic way to do it. There's a newer way for JAWS users or people who may only have the use of one hand. Using the layered command for JAWS, you can press, first of all, Insert Spacebar and then Let Go. You'll hear a pop sound. JAWS will be in layered mode at that point, waiting for you to give it another command. And at that point, you can press the letter T for table, and JAWS will go into table layer mode. Using the Insert Spacebar first and then the letter T after that, then you can use just the arrow keys up, down, left, and right by themselves to navigate the table instead of having to hold down the Control and the Alt and the arrow keys. So that Control, Alt, arrow keys pretty much is pretty hard to do with just one hand. So that Insert Spacebar going into the layered mode, pressing T after that, and then being able to navigate the table just using one finger, for example, with the arrows up, down, left, and right, is really nice. Focus is in cell 1, because I pressed Control, Alt, Home to go to the beginning of the table, once I was in the table. And now I'm going to press the application key or right-click in that cell, Shift-F10.
Shift-F10. Menu. Cut unavailable.
Choose up arrow to find table properties.
New comment. Leaving menus. Link split button. Menu. Table properties dot dot dot.
Okay, that's it. Table properties. So I did a right click in that first row of the table, or I did a Shift-F10 while focus was in that first row and chose table properties. I'll press enter on that.
Menu. Table properties dialog. Table page. Text wrapping. Size. Preferred width colon checkbox. Not checked.
This is another multi-page dialog box. It has 5 tab pages. Focus was on the table tab page on a preferred width checkbox. I'll press Control Tab to move to the next page of the dialog box, which is the row tab.
Row tab.
And from the row tab, I'll press the tab key to move to the checkbox that says repeat as header row at the top of each page. It's not checked, so I'll press tab 3 or 4 times to get there.
Row 1. Options. Repeat as header row at the top of each page checkbox. Not checked.
So I pressed tab, I think, two or three times to get there. It's repeat as header row at the top of each page. It's not checked, and you would want to press the space bar to check that if we had a table that spans multiple rows. In this case, we don't, so I'm just going to press escape to get out of that.
Escape. Edit.
And focuses back in the document. Good. All right, so right now I'm going to go back to the lesson itself, actually. Let's see if I can find
Freedom, it. Microsoft Word 2016 Mic Shift Windows up arrow.
And in the documentation,
open the documentation in a new browser window opens in a new window link.
You had the link for opening the documentation in a new browser window. I just pressed tab to move to that from the top of the document. You could use your list of links to insert F7.
Table reading keystrokes opens a new window link.
So I pressed tab in the documentation to move to the next link, table reading keystrokes. If you want to look at that, you can later. I'll press tab again.
Use the bookmark feature in Word for table headers opens in Microsoft Word link.
So if you have people who have older versions of Office, let's say the desktop versions of Office 316, the desktop versions of Office 2016 that were installed just from a CD or a DVD or just downloaded by themselves and installed, or if you have people who have older versions of Microsoft Office like 2013 or 2010, etc., they may not have access to this. I don't know if Microsoft have ported the newer features back that far, but here's a document that will let you use the bookmark feature to create a title bookmark in the table that JAWS knows how to read and knows where the bookmarks are, where the column headers and the row headers are. So let's not use that. That's the older technique, but there is a link for it there in your documentation. So I'll press tab again.
Table practice document opens in Ms. Word link.
And there's a table practice document link. That's what I'm looking for. Table practice document. So if you're using your list of links, it's insert F7 and press T until you find table practice document. I'm going to press enter to open it. It'll come up in probably the notification bar or something. We'll see what happens here.
Internet Explorer. What do you want to do with florimx.ebird.flowertree.docs? Size colon 14.9 kilobytes type colon Microsoft Word from colon docscenter.freedomscientific.com. Open button.
Okay, so I have a dialog that says open. I'll press enter on that.
Table practice document opens in Ms. Word link. Notification bar requires response. Press all plus N. Downloading from site colon freedomscientific.com dot dot dot. Notification bar requires response. Press all plus N. Document 1-Word. Freedom. Microsoft Word 2016-Lesson 3-Internet Explorer. Alt N.
And I'm just waiting for my computer to catch up with me here.
Document 1-Word.
All right, there it is.
florimx.ebird.flowertree.docs/read-only-write-word.
I have a document here that's got a list of the state birds and flowers and trees from Florimex, FLORAMEX.com, and they've got a link there in the documentation for that. But I'm just going to down arrow to the table.
Link http://blank. Table 1, non-uniform table, state, row 1 of 51, column 1 of 4.
So there's the first column. And if I go to the next page, I'm going to increase the magnification or the zoom level here for myself. If I go to the next page with control page down.
Next page, Nebraska, row 28 of 51, page 2, Nebraska.
Now, Nebraska is the first state on this page. And looking at it visually, there is no column header. I can't see the column header for the state. And the next one is for the bird, I think, the next column. Column 3 is for the flower, I think. So I got to go back up and look.
Out of table.
Yes, yeah, state is in the first column, bird is in the second column, flower is in the third column, and tree is in the fourth column. So I couldn't see that when I was on page 2. So I'm going to down arrow to the first line where it says state.
Link HTTP blank. Table 1. Non-uniform table. State. Row 1 of 51. Column 1 of 4.
You could be anywhere in that first row. If you have two rows that contain column headers, then you want to select both rows by pressing shift and down arrow. So most of your column headers are going to be just one row across the top, but sometimes you might have two or more. So if you do have more, just select them all. Once your focus is in that first row where the column headers are, for example, now we can press shift F10 and get that table properties again.
Shift F10, menu, cut unavailable.
And I'm going to up arrow to find it. It's quicker that way.
New comment. Leaving menus. Link split button. Menu. Table properties dot dot dot.
All right. There it is. Table properties. And I'll press enter on that.
Leaving menus. Edit. Table properties dialog. Row page. Size. OK button.
So we left off on the row page the last time we opened up the table properties dialog box a few minutes ago. So focus is there on that page, but I still need to go to the checkbox that says repeat as header row at the top of each page. So I'll just press the tab key.
Cancel button. Row tab. Row size. Specify height colon check. Options. Allow row to break across pages check. Options. Repeat as header row at the top of each page checkbox. Not checked.
That's it right there. Repeat as header row at the top of each page checkbox. Not checked, and I'll press spacebar to check it.
Checked.
And then I'll press enter to close the table properties.
Edit.
And now if I press control page down.
Next page, Nebraska, row 28 of 51.
I see visually that there is the word state, bird, flower, and tree across the top of each column. You know, the state is in the first column and so on. Now that's not in the reading order. I think it's probably put like into the header of the page. So focus is on the word Nebraska.
Nebraska. State. This is the title column containing row titles. Nebraska. Column 1 of 4, row 28 of 51.
28 of 51. And if I press up arrow.
Montana. Row 27 of 51. Page 1.
That's row 27 and it's on page 1. If I down arrow.
Nebraska. Row 28 of 51. Page 2.
It's on page 2 and it's on the next row. So again, even though you check that checkbox, if you're a screen reader user, you're not going to necessarily see, you know, or be able to read with the screen reader the second and third page column headers. If that checkbox is there and you did it right, you'll know that they're there. If you do a PDF from this now, as I said, the column headers for page 2 and page 3, etc., would be there and you could see them with JAWS. It's just in Microsoft Word that you can't initially. Okay, so I'm going to press Control Home to go back to the top of the document.
Out of table, page 1, top of file, a list of state birds, flowers, and trees at Floramex colon.
And let's talk about now the row and column header thing and how that works. So I will down arrow until I find the table again.
Link HTTP colon slash blank. Table 1, non-uniform table, state, row 1 of 51, column 1 of 4.
So I just pressed down arrow until I found the first row and column of the table, and focuses in column 1, row 1. So now I'll press down arrow to go to the state for Alabama.
Alabama, row 2 of 51.
That's row 2. If I use the classic table reading keys, I'll press Control Alt right arrow. As I move to the right, JAWS will go up and read the column header for the second column, which is the word bird. And then it will read the contents of that cell, which is Yellowhammer. So if I press Control Alt Right.
Bird, Yellowhammer.
Bird, Yellowhammer. If I do that again with Control Alt Right, JAWS will go up first and read the column header, which is flower, and then the flower name in the cell, which is Camellia.
Flower, Camellia.
And the third, the next one over is tree, and it'll be southern pine.
Tree, southern pine.
Now, as I said, focus is at the end of the row. If I'm using Control Alt right arrow,
end of row.
JAWS says end of row and keeps me confined to the table, which is a great thing if I'm exploring the tables. So focus is in row 2, column 4, at the far right. Now, if I press Control Alt down arrow, focus will go down to row 3 and column 4 under the tree column, and the tree there is the Sitka spruce. Way over on the left in column 1 is the state name, Alaska. So when I press Control-Alt-Down arrow, if the table's marked up properly, I'll hear Alaska, Sitka spruce.
Alaska, Sitka spruce.
Which is good, I did. And so on. So this table now is marked up properly. And you might say, well, why is that? Okay. So focus is in the design tab, or focus is in the table, excuse me. And if we wanted to go back to the design tab of the ribbon to check this, you would first press the Alt key by itself to move focus to the ribbon.
Upper ribbon, group box, home tab.
Once focus is on the ribbon, and knowing that there's a design tab now available because focus was in the table, you can just press the letter J, T, Juliet, Tango.
Table tools, group box, design tab.
I hear that focus is on the design tab now, so it's just Alt by itself to go to the ribbon, and then, after that was done, JT, Juliet Tango. That exposes the lower ribbon for the design tab, and the very first thing in that row, or that lower ribbon, is the header row. When I press the tab key,
lower ribbon, design group box, table style options group box, header row checkbox checked.
Focuses in the table style options group box with that header row checked. So that header row, that means that first row where it has state, bird, flower, and tree has already been marked by Microsoft Word as a header. And therefore, we didn't have to do anything. JAWS read the column headers just fine. So I'm going to press tab 3 times until I find the column checkbox for first column.
Total row checkbox not checked. Banded rows checkbox checked. First column checkbox checked.
And here we heard the checkbox is checked for first column. So Word has figured out in this case that that first column is actually row headers. And it's marked that checkbox first column as being checked. So that's all you have to do to make the tables accessible in Word going forward now with this newest version of Office 365. Having installed the desktop version of Word 2016 from that Office 365 subscription. If you have a table that only has header rows, you know, the first row is headers only, and there's no row headers in first column, for example, then you would want to make sure that the header row checkbox is checked and that the first column checkbox is not checked. Think about that the opposite way. Let's say you have row headers only and no column headers. Then once the focus is in the first row or in the table anywhere, really, you can check and see what it says here for header rows. If you only have row headers, then you'd want to make sure that the checkbox for header row is not checked, and you would want to leave first column checked. So the two keys for the table style options is just to make sure that you have these two checkboxes checked appropriately for each table in your document. So if I have a two column, if I have column and row headers, I'll have the header row checked and I'll have first column checked. If I have only header rows across the top, then only header row would be checked. If I have only the first column as row headers, then only the first column checkbox would be checked in the table style options. The thing about this that's really cool is that every table can be different in the document. Well, you'd have at least two or three different options for each table. The options for the header row and the first column for each table are saved in the document for each table. So you can have multiple tables in the document, and as long as you make sure you've got the appropriate checkboxes checked for the header row or the first column, or not, depending on what you need, then anybody who gets that document after you've saved it and sent it to them is going to be able to use table reading keys and hear the column headers and the row headers marked up properly if they actually exist there. So this is really great. It's a new thing that Microsoft has done to improve the accessibility of Office, and it's available in the newest versions of Office 365 and also the desktop versions that were downloaded from that. For those of you who don't have the subscription and didn't do that, didn't download the options or the Office suite from that Office 365 download, hopefully the other versions will be catching up. I think every couple of months or so, hopefully they'll be updating those. But right now, I know that my laptop computer which does not have the desktop versions installed from the subscription, is behind my desktop computer that I'm using here for the class, which did get these versions downloaded from the Office subscription. And they are several versions different, and so it does make a difference which version you're using. So that was using table headers, using the table styles option in Microsoft Word with our practice document, and also looking at making sure that the repeat as header row checkbox is checked for tables that might break across multiple pages. Now, you can't always tell when you design a table that it's going to break across multiple pages, so, or you may not be able to tell if you create a document that the table didn't break across two pages, but then somebody else inserted some new text in that document and now that table does break across pages. So it's really a good idea to go ahead and check that checkbox for repeat as header row for every table, I think. It's not going to hurt anything for sure. I'm going to close the state birds, flowers, and trees document, and I'll just say don't save if it asks.
Leaving menu bar, edit, Microsoft Word. Want to save your changes to Floramex to Ebird Flow. Table 1, uniform table, blank, row 1 of 3, column 1 of 3, document 1-word. The document has 1 objects. Edit.
So just to kind of go over a couple of the different navigation techniques that we use today. Control-Shift-O.
Please wait, processing 1 items. Inline objects dialog.
Brings up the inline objects, or the list of objects for Word, for JAWS, I should say. I can press Enter to move there.
Edit. View of the Aurora from the Space Shuttle, 5.25 inches wide by 3.5 inches high. The object is selected.
In this particular version, as I said earlier on in the lesson, focus is still on the image.
Graphic view of the Aurora from the Space Shuttle.
And I had already given it an Alt tag,
button selected.
Alt attribute, sorry.
Document 1. Print
press
view.
The Control
Edit.
Key, so
pane. In line.
That darn layout options thing popped up again.
Escape. Document 1. Print. Escape.
Now I had to press Escape a couple of times to get out of it.
Escape.
That's. I think you can turn that off. I'm not positive, but I think you can turn that off, and I'll look and see if I can figure out where in the Word options. So let me do that again. Control-Shift-O.
Please wait. Process.
I'll press Enter to move to the object, and this time I won't press Control. I'll just press the Shift key to silence JAWS.
Edit. View of the Aurora from the object is selected.
Okay, so the object is selected, and once the object is selected, I could do the application key and do different things to open up different task panes, but the format picture task pane was open the last time we were in here, and I can press F6 to move to that task pane.
F6, pane, effects button selected.
Where there was an effects button. And again, you can use F6 to move forward and go to the taskbar, then to the ribbon, and then back to the document itself. Or you can press Shift F6 just real quickly to go back.
Shift F6, document 1, print view, edit, document pane.
Okay, and I just pressed Control and brought up the layout options.
Document 1, print view, edit,
again.
Pane, in line with text.
I hate that thing. All right, so I'm going to escape out of that a few times.
Escape.
And let me go ahead and close this document and say, no, I don't want to save any changes.
Microsoft Word, want to save your changes. Table practice document.
There's the lesson for today.
57% browser
back
window.
In the training room.
Visited link next page.
And I'll push out the next page.
Conclusion and contact information document. Conclusion and contact.
Okay, so that's going to wrap up lesson 3 for Microsoft Word. We do have, if you're interested, it's not in the documentation, I don't think, but if you're interested in taking an online exam for Microsoft Word, I can send you a link for that. It's an accessible online exam, very similar to the JAWS certification exam or the ZoomText certification or the MAGIC, if you've taken any of those. Same system, same accessibility. If you want to take those exams, I can send them to you, but I don't send them out unless you ask for it. It's not required. And if you do take the exam and pass the exam, it's like short, maybe 10 or 12 questions. You will get a certificate of completion signed by me, and I'll send it out to you afterwards. If there's any questions, I'll let go of the microphone. I'm going to stop the desktop sharing here first.
Context menu, administration menu, leaving menus, conclusion and contact information document. Desktop sharing left paren off button. Freedom Scientific training room left paren moderator right paren. Browser window.
Let me try that again.
Context menu. Administration
like
menu.
Up.
Favorite submenu. Leaving menus. Graphic 719 button. Freedom Scientific training room left.
Great. Now I see like three instances of the training room and growing.
Context menu. Administration. Leaving menus. Freedom Scientific training room left. Desktop sharing left. Freedom Scientific training room left. Paren moderator right. Escape.
All right, let me stop the recording.
Context menu.